and greetings, everyone, to this week's Truth Provided broadcast. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry. Thank you once again for tuning in to an hour of prophetic facts. The website that carries what I'm about to share and much, much more is www.remnantofgod.org. I pray that what I'm about to share with you will become a blessing to both you and your loved ones, and I also pray that you're going to be able to share it with as many as possible. You know, with all the events happening in today's world, I have been literally inundated with many emails asking, is this the plagues, or what are the plagues? Will we be here for the plagues? Are the plagues real? And so on. My favorite one has to be, how will the Almighty bring about the plagues upon mankind? Will he recreate a special situation or a plant or a virus or life form so as to do his prophetic bidding? Or will he do as he has done all along? Will he use that which he has already created in creation week as he did at the Red Sea? Like in Exodus 14:21, it says, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. You know, it's not like the Hollywood movies depicted it at all. I mean, Hollywood has all the glory falling on Moses, who's played by either Charlton Heston or some cartoon character, so that, you know, in Disney, where they slam the staff into the bank of the river, and it just causes it to divide. It looks like everything's, you know, done by Moses. The glory is on the Creator of all that is seen and unseen. It was the Creator using those things he had already created to do his will. The Creator himself caused the wind to blow all night long so the sea would go back, allowing the earth to dry up so that all the people he created could walk through to safety onto the other side. In fact, it has just been discovered recently where they crossed. Looking from above via satellite, one can see a shelf where they crossed. You know, on both sides of the shelf is an immensely deep cavern. This is no doubt where most of the Pharaoh's men ended up that day, as well as Pharaoh. Plus, they have recently surveyed that shelf from underwater and have pictures, actual pictures, I've seen this with my own eyes, of chariot wheels lying on the shelf. You know, not in the deep part, of course, but on the shelf across the top. And by the way, the Bible does say that Pharaoh went down into the waters as well. However, all the movies say otherwise. So, has the Almighty given us ample signs of how he will bring about the plagues upon the wicked? Is there evidence within his creation of his hand getting ready to move? Have the prophesied winds started to blow? Now, keep in mind, folks, the wind blew all night long before the path was ready for them to go into the promised land or wherever they were headed. They, of course, had to deal with 40 years of wandering in the desert because they weren't ready for the promised land right off. Can our eyes see four winds that the angels are holding back even now? Is our Lord allowing us more ammunition so as to evangelize those stragglers among us? In either event, let's see what's happening or what's been going on, shall we? And by the way, I'm not claiming the plagues have started already. I'm merely reading the signs that prove they are near and at the very doorstep. Even with the wind blowing all night, we see things happening in advance to set up for the plagues. Even before the flood of Noah came, they saw clouds rolling in the sky. I mean, did they not? So, what do we see? Plague number one. Revelation 16, verses 1 and 2 talks about, let me read it. It says, And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to seven angels, Go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. Okay? Now, let me read you this little excerpt from an article I found in North Carolina Medical Journal in August of 1998. Some doctor by the name of C. Gregory Smith, MD and an MPH, and Stanley I. Music, MD, DT, PH, in London, compiled these facts. They stated that Fisteria pacifica and several other recently discovered one-cell microorganisms called dinoflagellates have been linked to flesh ulcers in fish and to fish kills, lesioned fish kills, that's, by the way, in eastern U.S. coastal waters. 1 to 3 laboratory workers exposed to Fisteria pacifica toxins have developed transient adverse neurocognitive effects, including memory disturbances that have a few, if any, residue. There are reports that individuals exposed to Eustrine waters in Maryland in late summer and the fall of 1997, prior to and during lesioned fish kills, developed symptomatic neurocognitive deficits. 4 to 8 in this article we review studies done to define the risk of Fusarium pacifica toxin exposure and the efforts underway in North Carolina to further address this problem. A number of erroneous reports have attributed rashes and other skin lesions to these microorganisms. Some have been included, have even included pictures of human skin ulcers juxtaposed to fish ulcers. So if you get close enough to these fish that have these boils, humans will be affected and get these boils. And I got a picture on the website in the Seven Last Plagues page where I got a guy holding these two dead fish in his hands, and they got these big boils sticking out of the side of their body. And, of course, he's wearing rubber gloves. Now, do a little research on the Internet yourself for something called Red Tide. And see for yourselves all the literally hundreds of thousands of articles about this boil-forming parasite that is attacking fish as well as humans that actually turns seawater blood red. I will get into that in the next two plagues. My last check on Google on September 12th alone brought up 619,000 pages on this topic. And you notice how many of those sites generated were from our own scientists right here in the States, both young and old. And also notice how baffled they are. In fact, one of the scientists actually claimed that the microbe that's causing these problems is an alien being. You know, sadly, some are going to go to any lengths they can before accepting the final fact that the Creator said this was going to happen. You know, fact is, the Lord said there would come upon mankind boils as a result of their denial of his love and truth. And as many of us already know, science will try to give us some scientific reason for the boils. In fact, science is trying to explain away all that the Lord is doing, whether it's evolution or these prophesied boils that are soon to be upon the wicked. They can scoff and cough now as we see it coming to fruition. Will their scoffing stop it from happening? Well, of course not. They scoffed at Noah when he said it was going to rain. Did that stop the now scientifically proven global flood? By the way, science has also dated the flood to be around the time the Christian Bible speaks of Noah's day. Still, they scoff. You know, the truth of the matter is, even the Lord explained he was using the wind to blow all night to split the Red Sea. And it did split. He said it was going to rain, and it did rain. So science can try to explain away how these plagues are about to happen. It won't stop that which is written. It's still going to happen. All right, plague number 2 and 3, which more or less coincides with plague number 1 as to how the Lord's going to bring it about. Revelation 16, verses 3 and 4 says, "And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as blood of a dead man. And every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains of waters, and they became blood." Now, all over the Internet, you see stories and actual pictures of blood-red waters in both the ocean as well as inland waters now. I have a few pictures on my Seven Plagues page of a freshwater lake with bloody stains lurking about it, filled with dead fish, with boils all over them. A photo of the ebb tide coming in off the coast of California, as well as the Gulf of Mexico, with blood-red water riding on the top of the regular waters. I mean, science can't hide these facts from the people when it comes near inland to where a bunch of people are, so they'll try to figure out a way to explain it away. Okay? I also have a picture of a water spout shooting out of the ground in Spain. This amazed me when I saw this. This photo was taken on September 6, 2000. And here's an excerpt from the article. I have the whole article on the site. September 6, 2000, Spanish water spout gushes nonstop. It says a huge column of red water has been spewing from Spanish soil for almost 6 weeks, baffling geologists who have no explanation for the phenomenon. The 100-foot-high gusher of red water mixed with soil and carbon dioxide is being shot from the parched soil of La Mancha in central Spain at the rate of 13 gallons a second. The water burst forth on July 25th as olive growers in the city of Grantuala de Calatrava were deepening an existing well. They initially tried unsuccessfully to stop the flow of water by piling rocks over the opening. They had to get a pretty big rock to stop a 100-foot gusher. But amazing, isn't it? They were digging a well for water, and suddenly red water comes gushing out of the ground, shooting 100 feet in the air. At the reporting of that article, it had been spouting out of the hole since July 25th. And it was not showing any sign of slowing down at all. Nearly six straight weeks since it began, it was still going strong. I never checked back on it, article, as it was all I needed to prove a point to a dear soul at the time. Here's something I found rather interesting, and I threw it on the website as well, from a fishing tips kind of a website. It's got a little article called Red Water. It says, at times during the early hours, the sea is too calm and the water is too clear for certain big fish. This does not mean that very muddy water is better. It is definitely not. When the water is red, you might just as well leave that section. The so-called red water is not muddy water. It is caused by millions of micro or minute organisms that strike an area like a plague. Okay, so they're giving tips on how to fish and where not to fish. They're already, you know, it's just already common knowledge now with the red water. You know, doing some research later, I found on some of those scientific sites that the average lifespan per infected fish was 1 hour per pound. In other words, when this parasite shoots out its tendrils, like a little fisherman, it's got these things that shoots out, and attaches to the fish, it reels itself in. It causes the fish to become covered in boils after it attaches itself to the fish. These boils seep a toxic fluid that actually turns H2O blood red. You know, if the fish weighs 1 pound, it's going to be dead in 1 hour. If it weighs 100 pounds, it's going to be dead in 100 hours, and so on and so forth. So the thing is, they're finding trillions. I think it was trillions. An article I saw years ago, where they just can't count the number of dead fish that are coming up on shore and stuff like that, out of the ocean, you know, in the middle of the ocean someplace. I also read an article some time ago. I don't have it on my page here. I do have it where it's called, there's a black spot. I think it's in Lake Michigan. In the middle somewhere where you can't see it from land, there's just black water. It's just black. From the air, it looks like a weird lightning bolt-shaped stripe, and it's just black, black water. I don't know I never really researched it. I just thought it was pretty weird looking in the picture. Anyway, question. Why do you suppose the Creator is allowing the water to turn to blood, or the appearance of blood? The truth is, man reaps as he sows. The Lord always gives the man what he desires in his heart. The Word of God gives us a blunt answer to that question. In Revelation 16, verse 6, it says, "For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. Those that thirst after blood shall have all the blood they can ever imagine." If they're bloodthirsty, they're going to get blood to drink. The plagues are merely rebukes on those that persecute the Lord's children all throughout history. That's right, Babylon is the main target here. And who was Babylon? Well, stop by the website. There's a couple of pages on the site that will give you an absolute understanding to that point. Like in the Bible Truth section or the Prophecy section, I have a page called Horror Babylon. Plus, I have a Horror Babylon flash animation that takes about an hour to watch. Pretty amazing stuff. Anyway, plague number 4. Revelation 16, verse 8. It says, "And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire." Okay? Now, on my Seven Last Plagues page on the website in the prophecy section, I got pictures of, you know, solar winds and solar tornadoes. I actually have a quick little video. I hope it's still on the site. I linked it from another site years ago. And they knew about this back in 1996. It's a video from 1996 of a tornado on the surface of our sun going 300,000 miles an hour, and it's about the size of our planet. And they were predicting back in 1996 that it's going to cause some weird climate changes around the year 2000 to us, along with all those strange solar flares that mess up your television stations, those of you that don't use cable or satellite TV. You know what I'm talking about. Anyway, but science did what? They decided to call it El Nino. You know, they'll do whatever they can, folks. They're going to do whatever they can. For all of those that are within Babylon, the sun-worshipping, Sunday-keeping churches of the world will look upon this one as their blessing directly. Okay? This is an open rebuke of biblical proportions upon this so-called Sunday Sabbath. Yet, will they repent? Think about that for a moment. The very sun god they worshipped is now become their tormentor. And it is not dancing in the sky, as Satan made it appear to do back in 1917 over Fatima. Catholic Church had this so-called apparition of Mary, and she makes the sun dance around in the sky where they could even photograph it. Okay? Funny they would use the sun, right? Anyway, back then, it was done before the eyes of those being deceived directly by the first mainstream manifestation of Satan himself as Mary, the mother of Jesus. This plague is an open rebuke. This plague of heat, it's an open rebuke on those that do as the sun-worshipping whore of Babylon has taught them, the world over this time. Yet, again, I ask, will they repent? Well, according to the most accurate prophecies of all time, not likely. Revelation 16:9 says, And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. Now do you understand why preaching at this time is useless? Even though the Almighty is making himself so graphically and 100% prophetically realized before the eyes of every man, woman, and child, and they still refuse to repent. Makes this next passage all the more likely to be understood now, doesn't it? Revelation 22:11 says, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he that is filthy, let him be filthy still, and he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. When that passage is proclaimed, I'm done preaching. I mean, I'll share if I'm alive in, you know, in the caves or wherever we're at with those that are hiding from, you know, the persecution and the death sentence in regards to the mark of the beast. But the but going out to try to get people saved and find Christ as Lord and Savior, it's just not going to happen anymore. That's it. When the plagues start, that's it. It's over with. In other words, those that are lost are going to stay lost after the prophesied plagues begin. So why preach at that time? Another fact is, those that are saved are going to stay saved as well. This is, the, you know, in fact, the plagues are the last few months of Earth's history. For verification of that, see Revelation 18:8. Anyway, the plagues are the desired judgment of the wicked. It is what they truly want. It is what they truly desire. All their lives, the Lord has tried time and time again to get them to embrace His love and His truth, which, by the way, would have given them peace and happiness in life as well as eternal life. But their sin was what they embraced, and sin can only bless with the misery, turmoil, and death. So again, the Lord simply gives them what they desire. They would literally be miserable in heaven. The plagues are also used to glorify the Lord. How? Well, the true Christian is not affected by them. Psalm 91:10 says, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. The wicked, which have the boils, the bloody water, the searing heat, as well as the rest of the plagues upon them, and the strange thing is, the Christian will be blamed for all their problems when that day comes. They don't realize that, look, the Christians don't have to deal with the heat. They don't have to deal with any of the plagues, but yet they got them all on them, and they still think it's our fault. Yeah, strange, you know, as it may seem. So, in fact, the method by which brings on the plagues is their claiming the Christians are the reasons for all the disasters on earth. They will literally suggest all have to keep holy the Roman-invented Sunday Sabbath as a way to prevent further destruction by all the natural disasters on the earth. Almost every Christian on earth will agree, as will all the other religions that go along with Rome, the Roman mandate of keeping Sunday holy. Problem is, the disasters won't stop at all. Instead, they'll actually escalate. So, of course, they will blame the true Sabbath-keeping Christians for the calamities continuing. The buy-and-sell prophesied event of Revelation 13:17 will begin, and still the Sabbath keepers seem blessed and unaffected by the global problems and refuse to go along with the One World Church's idea of a Sunday Sabbath to stop the calamities. And so the death decree of Revelation 13:15 is enacted to try and get them to comply. And that act causes the plagues to begin. Their own hatred of truth seals their faith. In other words, it's a holy war against the devil and Christ. For those of you that think it's impossible for them to run such a scenario upon all mankind, you need to read my February 2005 Truth Provided newsletter. In it, I have the article from the Presbyterian Church of Scotland proclaiming the tsunami, you know, the December 26, 2005 tsunami, was the end result of people not going to church on Sundays. They literally put that in the papers. In other words, we're in the last moments of time just before the plagues begin. Okay, plague number 5. Revelation 16:10 says, and the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. Let me read you this quick little excerpt from the BBC, Dash 2, I guess. It's an online BBC thing, out of February 3rd. 2000. It says it would, and speaking of a meteor, I guess, it says it would devastate the planet. Climatologists now know that Toba, oh, I'm sorry, it's talking about a volcano. It says now they know that Toba blasted so much ash and sulfur dioxide into the stratosphere that it blocked out the sun, causing the Earth's temperature to plummet. Some geneticists now believe that this had a catastrophic effect on human life, possibly reducing the population on Earth to just a few thousand people. mankind was pushed to the edge of extinction, and it could happen again. Of course, they're talking about something that happened a while ago. Do you recall when the fires in Florida caused the Daytona 500 to be canceled? The smoke literally blotted out the sun. What if the fires were more frequent and more in number? Or perhaps a fair-sized meteor hits the Earth, causing thousands of metric tons of Earth to be spewed into the atmosphere in powder form? Perhaps the Ring of Fire that so many scientists believe will soon expel massive dumps of volcanic ash will occur. Or worse yet, all three happen simultaneously in different areas of the globe. Now, truth is, they don't even have to happen at the same time. It could, you know, it could be one month of fire, and next month it could be volcanoes, and so on and so forth. You know, I remember as a young Catholic studying the now-realized bogus prophecies of the Roman Catholic Church. They had one in particular that mimicked this plague so as to relieve the fear that their religion naturally places inside the hearts of their followers when the talk of the plagues comes about. They stated that soon there will be 3 days of darkness. Only those with beeswax candles blessed by a Roman Catholic priest in their homes will have light in their homes. You know, biblically, that it's not what is going to occur at all. You can't find that in the Bible. You see, this plague is also a rebuke on the whore who was supposed to be a bride in, you know, to Christ. True Bible-believing Christians are to be the light of the world, not blasphemous priests, cardinals, bishops, nuns, and popes. Look at this plague and see for yourself the plain truth on this. It is as if the Almighty is stating to the Roman Catholic Church specifically, you set yourselves up in sinful ways as the light of the world instead of Christian ways that would glorify me. I judge you in the darkness you love and openly embrace. And in so doing, I expose you as evil and glorify myself as a God of 100% accuracy in prophecy. The Roman Church, and now all the churches that have joined with her, prefer the darkness over the light, just as Jesus said they would in John 3:19. It says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. You know, like this, like the others, this plague gives them the desire of their hearts. They love darkness, then darkness is theirs. I honestly pray the Catholics, as well as any churches embracing her doctrines, choose to embrace Jesus before it's too late. For it is bad enough standing in open judgment. It's not easy being in pain. Imagine it all being experienced, you know, this pain and judgment and whatnot and a fear. All on top of that, you've got total darkness. You can't see your hand in front of your face. Yet still will they repent. Revelation 16:11, following right afterward, says, and they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and sores and repented not of their deeds. You know, when the proclamation is made in Revelation 22:11 that I spoke of earlier, that whosoever is unjust is going to stay that way, all that they are going through will become even more horrendous, for it is written in Revelation 14:10, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. These plagues are poured out upon the wicked without the Holy Spirit to hold back the wrath of God. His wrath is no longer mixed with his spirit. The Holy Spirit will step back after the plagues start. All those evil men in the governments, all those evil people the world over, will no longer be prevented from doing those deeds they so often dreamed of doing upon their fellow man. The world will literally be blanketed in a cover of evil like never before. Now imagine this darkness. Now imagine what the wicked will experience without the Holy Spirit there to protect them, and a sure sense deep within that no God will help them either. The only ones receiving the protection now are those few children of God still on the planet that they themselves hate with a passion. And again, the strange thing here is they are the ones being blamed for the reason the world is experiencing the plagues. That's right. Those of us who refuse to go along with the Sunday Sabbath and break the laws of God will not bend or break at this time. And because we refuse to bow to all their evil ways, they openly declare it is our fault these plagues are upon mankind. In fact, they will echo a phrase said so long ago that Jesus heard while standing in the court. They will shout, it is better that these die than the entire human race be wiped out. Remember what they said about Jesus? It's better that this man should die than the whole nation should perish. Remember also, no Holy Spirit's going to be there to stop them. They can easily pass laws that now put a date on our execution. This will indeed be a time of trouble for the true child of God. However, we will not die. I like the way Ellen White put it so long ago. She said in The Great Controversy on page 634, if the blood of Christ's faithful witnesses were shed at this time, it would not, like the blood of the martyrs, be as a seed sown to yield a harvest for God. Our deaths will no longer help others see the light, people. When the plagues start, martyrdom is going to stop. No longer will the hearts of the lost be moved by the death of a peaceful Christian. Now there are angels of the Lord making the weapons of the wicked miraculously fall like dried leaves at their side. They will be baffled at how they are unable to come against us and do us any harm. They truly cannot see the hand of God upon his children because they have not eyes to see. They will try, but their attacks at this time are futile. For it is written, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment shall not thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. That's Isaiah 54:17. Jeremiah also says in 30:7, alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Be back in a few minutes.